Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Joey Rogers, and welcome to Revive.
I don't have to be convicted about what God already said. And if I know what God already said, then when He says something in here that may be specific to me, and I've lined it up, it's not an option. It's time to obey. No matter what it looks like. Come on, somebody.
In just a moment, I'm going to take you into a life-changing word from the Lord as preached right here from Pace Assembly. I know that it will be a blessing to you, so get ready to receive the word of God and faith that comes by hearing that word today.
Welcome back to Revive Radio. Let's continue with Pastor Rogers in his current Wednesday night Bible study. This is part four from the By Faith series, How to Walk with God by Faith. Let's get back into the message with Pastor Rogers.
This is wonderful. Verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. The Bible says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, that's that action, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. By the way he lived, it condemned the world. Do you know, you get around some folks that have got the Spirit of God on the inside of them, and it doesn't matter what's going on around them. They just keep on living for the Lord, and they wind up, and people get mad. I've gotten on elevators before over to the hospital in different places, and folks, yeah, you know, I used to go to Pace, I used to go to church, this, and next thing I know, I'm going up two flights just to get off because they start thinking I'm the Pope, and they start confessing everything, and their goldfish is sins right there. Unknown to me. I'm going, time out. I don't want to know that. That's like, too much information. The Bible says here that he condemned the world and became, look at this, underline this, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let me take you quickly on this journey. There was an anticipation, number four, an anticipation of inheritance. God is saying to every one of us, if you'll live right, I got something waiting on you that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. He calls it an heir of righteousness. That means there's something up ahead for Noah. He's an heir to something that he has no idea what it is yet, but God has already put it in place for him to have. I just want to say to every one of you that are living for the Lord and you're going through a hard time right now, keep on living for the Lord. Keep on being faithful because you are an heir. And the Bible says an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. So whatever heaven has is waiting on those that are faithful. The word translated heir here means that you get something without having to merit it. It's by grace. Righteousness is the grace gift to us. All right? Romans chapter 1, verse 17, write it down. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. That's the only way to please God. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9, and being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I conclude with these three rewards that Noah had. Number one, Noah's house, look at this, because he remained faithful for 120 years to the call and the obedience of God, Noah's house was saved. Noah believed God. He believed the warning of God about the coming of judgment, and Noah's whole house was saved. Let me put this in perspective quickly. God saved him. Everyone else around Noah, except for his family, died. But God saved Noah and his house. Why? Because they did not believe God's warning about coming judgment, but Noah did. And Noah prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Now, let me take you a little further. Noah's wife and his children were blessed to have a godly father who refused to give up his faith in 120 years. And he taught them the truth of the judgment of God and of the God who loved them enough that he was preparing an ark for their household and to save the whole world if they wanted to be. Please remember this. that Noah's sons had married heathen, pagan women. Get a picture of this. These women who could have gone on out into paganism and into the world's deal decided they had to reject their family and choose Noah and his leadership to the mockery of all of their relatives. And they and their husbands were saved in the ark. That is a powerful testimony to the head of any house. If Noah would have stumbled at that hour, he could have lost his whole house. But because his children and his wife saw a faithful man every day living for God, not a man who didn't stumble, not a man who didn't mess up, I'm sure, but the fact is he kept on obeying God and doing what God called him to do, and it saved his house. God saved them all. Number two, reward. Watch this. The world was condemned, but Noah's faith was vindicated. I'm watching that, and you are too right now, where people lie on somebody, all that kind of stuff, and it looks like one thing. But if you'll stay faithful to God, if you'll walk with God, truth will always triumph. So he preached for 120 years and kept on living for God. And when it was all said and done, the world was condemned by the righteousness of Noah. Now, please get this. He didn't stand up. I don't see him preaching something that's some kind of hateful message. Is it hateful to say the rain is going to come, the rapture is going to happen, get yourself in order, live right, because it could happen at any moment? That's the most loving message that you could ever give to anybody. That Jesus is going to come back, that the ark is going to, the door is going to be shut, and the water is going to rise. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Noah's faith was judgment on other people. That's the reason why sometimes people may look at you and hate on you when you walk in the room. Because it's not you, and it doesn't mean that you become judgmental against them. You don't have to stand up on your desk and beat your Bible. You don't become self-righteous. You don't become a person who is fault-finding on other people or whatever it may be. It's just the Christ who lives on the inside of you that steps into the room that suddenly puts the whole place under conviction. And you may not even understand that's going on, and yet God is saying, if you'll stay faithful, I'm going to vindicate you when it's all said and done. The third thing you need to get a hold of is that Noah was counted righteous. Now, he couldn't do that on his own. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Noah simply believed God, and God said, I like you, Noah. I'm going to save you. Please don't get caught up with doing works to try to get into the kingdom. You can't come to church enough to be able to be saved. But because you're saved, you love to come to church. You love to fellowship with God's people. I don't understand folks that get saved and say, I can't go down to that church. Too many hypocrites. You didn't stop shopping at Walmart. You're not stopped working on your job. There's hypocrites down there. Come on. In fact, you might be one. Come on, say amen. You better clock your own self. You better pull that 2x4 out of your own eyeball before you check out the splinter in somebody else's. But if you'll stay faithful, God's clocking you right now saying, I'm going to give you righteousness. Not because you deserve it, not because you earned it. I just like you. And you come to him and you say, Lord, I recognize who I am. I'm a sinner lost without God. When you approach somebody in that manner, not in self-righteousness, but in the righteousness of Christ, I've had it happen multiple times. All of a sudden, they just start melting down in front of you and you're wondering what's going on. It's not you. It's the Christ on the inside of you. They start telling you stuff. I used to read the Bible. I didn't even ask that question. Why are you telling me that? Don't talk to them about the weather. That's not the time to talk to them about their shoes. That's not the time to talk to them about whatever. That's the time to go for it. You got to be ready for that. Because from this night forward, I want you to see yourself as Noah standing in the door with the last 7 days that God has spoken to your heart. And if you'll keep that inside of your spirit, it won't make any difference who you come in contact with. Red, yellow, black, white, old, young, rich, poor, whoever they are, everybody needs Jesus. And you got the message and you're standing at the door of salvation tonight. I'm going to drop one last thing on you and then we're out of here. Can you handle this? Because this is relevant to the time we're in right now. Get this. Enoch, of course, walked with God, the Bible says. But after Enoch came this guy, his son named Methuselah. Check it out in Genesis 5. I'm abbreviating. Methuselah's name meant, as a word of prophecy, when he dies, it shall come. Methuselah is the oldest guy. 900 plus years, here he is living all this time period. It's a picture of grace. It's a picture of a time period called grace. But, and don't you know, whenever they named him Methuselah and everybody else knew that when the prophecy over his life, he's a walking prophecy walking around, and they look at him and say, y'all make sure he's breathing. Because when he dies, something's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen, but something's going to happen. When grace stops, when the days of grace, when the church has completed all that, some point in that 120 years, right at that 120 year mark, I don't know if it was January, March, or October, I don't know when it was, but there was a point when God said, my patience is over. Methuselah dies. And his great, great grandson, Noah, who's been building on an ark simultaneously, is ready. It's been said, I'm going to just drop this on you, one of the rituals of someone dying is a 7-day period of a funeral. So it could be that when God spoke to Noah, get your family, get in the ark, it could have been that on that day, Methuselah, the prophecy, dies. And for 7 days, they honored Methuselah and his death. And then the floods came. Whatever you do, get you and your house in that ark. Because we're living in the last 7 days, whatever that is, seconds, milliseconds. This is not a time to be jumping in and out. This is not a time to be jumping from church to church. It's not a time for you to be jumping and losing your faith or somebody hurt my feelings. Anybody ever hurt your feeling on your job before? Let me see your hand. Come on now, liars. Lift that hand. Anybody ever hurt your feeling on your job? Anybody ever get mad at you on your job before? Come on, y'all afraid. You know what I'm going to say to you. Come on, you're in retirement. I got to catch everybody. You're in retirement. You go up there, try to get your free biscuit, and somebody says, you ain't getting no free biscuit. Let me see your card. You're offended. You're offended. They hurt your feeling. If you're looking for a hurt feeling, you can find one between here and the house tonight. Because some folks stayed indoors long enough for it to start raining, and when you leave out of here, they're going to get in their car because they're crazy and get on the highway in front of you, and you're going to get frustrated. But I'm not going to get frustrated enough to lose my faith. I'm not going to get hurt enough to lose my faith. You sit in my seat, I'll find another one. I'm not going to lose my faith. You don't sing the song I like, I'm still going to serve the Lord. If everybody goes to hell, me and my house are getting in the ark, and we're going to stay there because it's a matter of life and death for me.
I'm thankful that you've joined us for Revive today, and I pray that the word of the Lord has been strength to you. If you'd like more information about today's message, log on to paceassembly.org, or you can email us right there, revive@paceassembly.org, and I want to encourage you to be right back here with us once again. Till then, remember, Jesus Christ is coming soon.